الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ومن اهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين. All praise due to Allah, and we ask Allah to send the peace and His blessings and to exalt the mention of Prophet Muhammad, his companions, all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. We continue with the tafsir of Shaykh Al-Sa'di rahmatullahi alayhi, and we are currently in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 44, which reads, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Let me read it from the source. أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب أفلا تعقلون واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون. Someone can read verses 44, 45, 46 in English.
Enjoying you of fear, piety and righteousness, and ever after obedience of Allah. And the people that you forget to practice it yourselves while you recite the scripture, the Torah. How do you then, in a sense, and think of the patience and as salah, the prayer, and truly it is extremely heavy and hard said for us that as you own, the true believers in Allah, those who obey Allah the course of mission, fear must from his punishment and believe in his promise, paradise, and in his warnings, heaven. They are those who are certain that they are going to meet their Lord, and that means they are going to return.
Jazakallahu khairan. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله أتأمرون الناس بالبر أي بالإيمان والخير وتنسون أنفسكم أي تتركونها عن أمرها بذلك. The Shaykh said, do you command the people to do bir, which he said is iman, which is faith, and khair, goodness, all kinds of goodness, and you forget about yourself, meaning you forget commanding yourself to do the same? Well, hal, and the situation or the condition is that you are reciting a book. Do you not understand? Wa asma أو سمي العقل عقلا لأنه يعقل به ما ينفعه من الخير وينعقل به عما يضره وذلك أن العقل يحث صاحبه أن يكون أول فاعل لما يأمر به وأول تارك لما ينهى عنه. The Shaykh said the عقل was called عقل or mind because it prevents, because it makes the person, because the person uses it to understand what is considered good and understand how to do it, and it also makes the person understand how to prevent evil and not fall into it. And this is because the mind by nature encourages the owner of the mind to be the first one to act according to the commandments. Yani, you tell your children, you know, to eat with the right hand, and you're eating with the left hand. Your mind is of a nature where it will prevent you from doing so. It will tell you, your mind will tell you, if you're telling them to eat with the right hand, you better be the first one to do it, man. You know, otherwise it doesn't make any sense that you tell them something that you yourself, you're not implementing. So that's what the aql does. فَمَنْ أَمَرَ غَيْرَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَلَمْ يَفْعَلُهُ أَوْ نَهَاهَا عَنِ الشَّرْ فَلَمْ يَتْرُكُهُ دَلَّ عَلَىٰ عَدَمِ عَقْلِهِ. So whomever commands the people to do goodness and he doesn't do it himself, and he prevents people from evil but he does it himself, he doesn't leave it alone, yani he does it, this indicates that he has no brain. his brain is deficient. وجهله, and that he is ignorant. خصوصا إذا كان عالما بذلك قد قامت عليه الحجة. Specifically if the person is knowledgeable, يعني a person knows the what he is commanding and he knows it's obligatory, for example, or something, and he does not do it, this indicates that this person is oppressive and he has no mind, especially after he is knowledgeable about the thing and the proof has been established against him. وهذه الآية وإن كانت نزلت في سبب بني إسرائيل فهي عامة لكل أحد, لقوله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. The Sheikh said this ayah, although it was revealed discussing the affair of the children of Israel, here we are, the context of these verses is speaking to the children of Israel. Do you command the people to do good and you forget yourselves and what have you? There's a principle in tafsir though, there's a principle in the interpretation of the Quran which goes like this: العبرة بعموم اللفظ لا بخصوص السبب. The idea behind the ayah is really relevant to the general meaning, not particularly the reason why it was revealed. Okay? So, a verse may have been revealed at a particular point. Maybe one of the believers wasn't being truthful. Okay? So Allah reveals, for example, all you who believe, have taqwa of Allah and be among the truthful. Can we come and say that this is not for all of the Muslims? This was revealed only because of one companion. So this verse only applies to him, it doesn't apply to us. Can we say that? True. And let's say a person wasn't being truthful among the Muslims. Okay? He was lying. So Allah revealed the verse that says, all you who believe, it was revealed because of him. All you who believe, have taqwa of Allah and be among the truthful ones. Does this verse encompass all of the Muslims and the believers, or is it only for the brother?
All.
This is the principle. Even if it didn't say all you believe, even if it did not say all you who believe, even if it was directed towards the person, the principle in tafsir is that the meaning or the wisdom behind it or the ruling, it encompasses everyone. Not only the person or the situation where this verse was revealed. Because we know the Quran was revealed over the period of 23 years. Right? 23 years, it took 23 years for the Quran to be fully revealed. From cover to cover. Of course it was revealed that maybe the sequence of the verses will come, you know, sometimes some of the Baqarah will come, then Al-Imran, and it wasn't the way it is like this right now. This is how it was compiled. The bottom line is, it took 23 years. So the Quran was being revealed according to incidents that were happening in the lives of the Muslims. You know, a situation will arise, then revelation will become necessary for the Muslims to know how to handle this particular issue, and indeed Allah will reveal the ruling regarding the event that took place. But the principle is that ruling is not only confined with these people, rather it encompasses all the Muslims until the Day of Judgment. Even if the purpose behind the revelation was specific, the meaning encompasses all. You follow me? Fine. Here, how do we relate to this? The verse says, speaking to the children of Israel, do you command the people to do goodness and you forget about yourself while you recite in the book? Do you not understand? If you come and find a Muslim doing the same thing, then if you see a Muslim, he's commanding the people, you know, stop, this is haram, stop drinking alcohol, and he's drinking a beer. You come telling me, Akhi, what are you doing? And he quotes this verse to you. He tells you, this doesn't apply to us Muslims. We could do that. Allah was speaking to the children of Israel. The verse was about them. They were not supposed to command the people to do good while forgetting themselves. But for us it's okay because the speech is addressing the Jews and not the Muslims. Is that true? No. You tell them no. You don't understand the deen. You don't understand Islam. You don't understand the tafsir of the Quran. This verse, although it was addressing them, it applies to anyone. Any Muslim who commands the good and does not do it himself falls under this particular verse. You see what I'm saying? So although the context is addressing the Jews or the children of Israel, in essence, this encompasses all the Muslims as well. Anyone who carries these characteristics is resembling them. You see what I'm saying? This is one way to look at it. Another way is that we have another verse from the Quran which speaks to the believers with the same context. The verse goes, all you who believe, this is Surah As-Saff, the beginning of Surah As-Saff. All you who believe, the second verse. All you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Why do you say that which you do not do? Verily it is highly detested and hated by Allah that you say that which you do not do. So we have this verse from Surah Al-Baqarah and we have these verses from Surah As-Saff supporting this idea, this concept of doing the opposite of what you say is something that is hated by Allah. May Allah protect us from this quality. Sometimes we fall into that out of our ignorance. I mean, in essence, I mean, maybe in a sense, it's not the, among the ones mentioned in the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, but in a person maybe, you know, this is the quality usually of hypocrites that they know, they pretend to be something that they're not. So we, you know, it may be part of that as well. Allahu a'lam. Inevitably, we don't want to be these guys, you know. We want to be careful in the way, you know. If we tell the people to stop something, then we need to be the first people to stop it. Now, sometimes the scholars say that doesn't mean that if you're doing something wrong and you see someone else doing something wrong, that you no longer tell him don't do it because you're doing it. Because there's two ways of looking at this. One way is when you don't care. Another way is when you are weak. You are weak. You don't care, meaning you smoke cigarettes. You love it. And you don't bother to stop. You don't bother to stop. Khalas, adi. But you see another person smoking, say, hey, smoke, stop smoking, smoke is haram. Then you turn around and you smoke. This is when the verse applies to you. There's another scenario. The other scenario is when you yourself, you're trying to quit smoking. You're struggling, but you have been unable to successfully stop. And you see another Muslim smoking, you can't tell him to stop. You tell him, "Akhi, smoking is haram." That doesn't apply to you in the full sense. Because you yourself, you want to stop, but you have reasons. You know? So the whole idea is, you don't want to be careless when you are commanding the good and not doing it. Because sometimes you tell the person not to do something and you fall into it out of weakness. The scholars say it doesn't mean that if you're not doing something, you don't tell the people, because you still have to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. You know? You still have to advise the Muslims. If you see someone doing something wrong, advise them. But you have to try yourself to stop it also. You cannot not care and advise them. You see what I'm saying? That's the whole thing. You cannot not care and advise. You have to care and try to stop yourself and advise, even if you're suffering from the same problem. You see? You can't. Maybe you're suffering in your salah. You're not doing a salah with khushu' properly. It doesn't mean you don't tell the brothers, the akhwan, khushu' is important in the salah. Why? Because you yourself cannot do it. You tell them and you strive to attain it yourself. Khushu' is the salah, ya shabab, when we should have khushu', you should have khushu', and you yourself can have khushu'. But to tell the people all about khushu' that when you pray you don't even bother, this is when the verse and the other ones apply. Tayyib? The Shaykh maybe will deal with that. Subhanallah. I always do this, man. May Allah forgive me. Tayyib. The Shaykh says it, I didn't read. وليس في الآية أن الإنسان إذا لم يقم بما أمر به أنه يترك الأمر بالمعروف أنه يترك الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. The ayah does not mean that if a person is unable to do what he commands the people that he leaves alone in joining the good and forbidding the evil. It doesn't mean that. لأنها دلت على التوفيق بالنسبة إلى الواجبين. Because all it indicates is reprimanding for those who are commanding the people. لأنها وإلا فمن المعلوم أن على الإنسان واجبين. Otherwise, because it is known that each human being has two obligations. Each one of us has two obligations. أمر غيره ونهيه. وأمر نفسه ونهيها. Commanding others and prohibiting them. And commanding oneself and prohibiting oneself. So you have two things. If you fail in the first, it doesn't mean you leave the second. You see what I'm saying? فترك أحدهما لا يكون رخصة في ترك الآخر. Leaving one of them does not give you the concession to leave the other one. فإن الكمال أن يقوم الإنسان بالواجبين. The best condition for one of us is that you fulfill both. You tell the people about the good and the bad, and you command them for the good, prohibit them from the bad, and you do the same thing for yourself. This is the highest level. This is the highest level you can attain. والنقص الكامل أن يتركهما. And being totally imperfect and bad is when you leave alone both. يعني you don't tell the people about the good and you don't tell them about the evil and warn them against it, and you yourself don't do the good and you don't leave alone the evil. This is the worst. And the one in the middle, وأما قيامه بأحدهما دون الآخر فليس في رتبة الأول أو رتبة الأول. As to do one and leave alone the second, it's not as good as in the one in the first position. وهو دون الأخير, but it's better than one who leaves alone both. وأيضا فإن النفوس مجبولة على عدم الانقياد لمن يخالف قوله فعلا. Also, the Sheikh said that the souls by default lean towards not following the person whose statement opposes actions. By default, you don't like to follow someone who tells you something and you see him doing the opposite. You just don't like that by nature. فاقتداءهم بالأفعال أبلغ من اقتداءهم بالأقوال المجردة. So then following the person with their actions is better than following them with the mere statements. It's better than following them with the mere statements. So we understand now there are three levels. One, who enjoys the good and forbid the evil with the people and with himself. Two, the one who doesn't do neither. He doesn't do it with the people, neither with himself nor with himself. And third, a person who does one and leaves alone the other. We don't want to be the third. You want to be the first or at least the second. You want to, at least if you're unable to do the things yourself, it doesn't mean you stop commanding the people. It does not mean that you stop commanding the people. You see what I'm saying? But don't be careless. Don't be careless when you are telling the people not to do something and you go do it. Wa alaykum salaam wa rahmatullah. Then the Shaykh said regarding the verses, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ أَمَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ أَن يَسْتَعِينُوا فِي أُمُورِهِمْ كُلِّهَا بِالصَّبْرِ بِجَمِيعِ أَنْوَاعِهِ وهو الصبر على طاعة الله حتى يؤديها والصبر عن معصية الله حتى يتركها والصبر على أقدار الله المؤلمة فلا يتسخطها. طيب, الله عز وجل commanded them to observe patience in all of their affairs. Seek aid and assistance, وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله. In the straight left, the first door to your left. You're welcome, sir. Huh? Allah Azza wa Jal commanded them to seek aid in salah in all of their affairs. And you must know that patience is three categories. There are three level. There are three categories of sabr, patience. Barakallahu fik. Patience upon obedience to Allah. Patience upon obedience to Allah. You need so. You need patience. Otherwise, if you don't have patience, you will not pray five times a day. You will not fast in Ramadan. If you don't have patience, you will not be able to fast in Ramadan, period. So you need patience. That's one kind of patience, the patience that you need in order to obey Allah. The second kind of patience is the patience you need which will prevent you from disobeying Allah. You see a woman walking down the street, and your shaitan and your mind and everything in you tells you to look. If you don't have patience that will hold you back from disobeying Allah, you're not going to be able to do it. So the first category of patience, patience that is required to help you obey Allah. The second kind of patience, patience that is required to prevent you from disobeying Allah. And the third kind of patience is the patience that deals with the decree, the agonizing decree of Allah. Sometimes a calamity befalls upon you. All of your family dies. You know, this is happening to people now. In these earthquakes, in these tornadoes and stuff, the whole family dies. And the person sees them on the floor. His mom, his dad, his brother, his sister, his grandpa, his uncle, everybody in the house dead. He was out, you know, at a friend's house, and the tornado hit this house or whatever, the earthquake. Everybody died. He comes, he finds, imagine, alhamdulillah, Allah protected us from this. Imagine your whole family dead. If you don't have patience, you're going to lose your mind. You will kill yourself. Or you will inevitably disbelieve. And usually a disbeliever already is in a state of disbelief. They're, oh, why God, why me, not why me? It's not this nonsense of, you know, why. And I don't believe in God anymore, and if there was a God, this wouldn't happen to me, and all this crazy stuff that the atheists and the agnostics and their likes say during these times of calamities. And they don't understand that this is the way of life. This is the way of life by Allah from the time of Adam until the day of judgment. It's not going to change. Not for me, not for you. Life is a death. The whole idea is, how did you die? That's all. How you die doesn't matter. How you mean as far as the method of death? But in what faith? What was your faith? This is what we are concerned about. You are going to die whether you like it or not, sooner or later, in an accident while you're lying on the bed, where if a plane falls on your head, you know, the ways vary, but the result is one. The objective of life of the son of Adam is before this moment comes, he believes in his Lord and his angels and his messengers and his books and the day of judgment and preordainment. That was your job. So if the time that Allah has ordained for the soul to go away comes, no one can complain. No one has lived eternally for you to want these people to live eternally. And you cannot tell Allah what's a suitable death. Whether it is on a cancer bed, in a hospital, or through an earthquake. You cannot tell Allah which is more suitable, because you don't know, number one. Number two, you may think that the other kind of death is better than this one, but this one may be better than the other one. For example, in Islam, if a wall falls upon you, you are considered a shaheed, a martyr. If you die because of a construction falling on you, killing you, you are considered a shaheed in Islam, a martyr. If you die because you drown, this is another form of a martyr. Again, if you die because of some stomach disease, this is also considered a martyr. There are a number of ways that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that if a person dies, he will get the reward of a martyr, which is the highest thing you can see. So a person, like in tsunami, many people in Indonesia and others died. And the people said, oh, well, this one, the Muslims. Alhamdulillah. If he was a believer, mia mia. He's going to die anyways. The moment is coming anyways. Them dying in this fashion and getting the reward of a martyr is better than living a life of wickedness and dying while drinking a booze, getting drunk. You never know. It may be mercy from Allah that they died in this fashion. We don't know. Because we don't know, we have no right to complain or object to what we think is befitting, because we don't know the future, we don't know the mercy of Allah, we don't know the things that Allah has ordained in this life. Or we just help his creatures. We go with the flow. So these things must be understood, because people sometimes have misconceptions. Say, oh, Muslim land, if earthquake, millions of Muslims died, if Muslims are on the truth, why? This is mercy from Allah. Because the more you suffer, the more sins will be forgiven. The more you suffer, the better your chance to go to Jannah. The one who suffers in this life is not like the same with the one who lives a lavish life. Inevitably, the more you suffer, the Prophet ﷺ said, any kind of tiredness, stress, anxiety, pain, even a thorn that pokes your finger, Allah will forgive sins according to how much you suffer. Even if it's just a, if you put touch this coffee and it's hot and it burns you for a slight second, some of your sins will be forgiven according to how much you suffered. So if you suffer a big suffer, people die, family members die, and you're stressed and you're anxious and you're crying and the whole nine yards, your sins are being erased. You don't know. But because we are short-brained, we sit there and say, what happened to me? We complain. We don't know that while we are in this state, Allah has forgiven our sins. It's mercy from Allah. And Allah is, showering with His mercy. Showering us with His mercy, but we don't see it. We only see the things in front of us. So, Islam came to deal with this issue. Because many people don't understand this life. And many people become atheists. I was just, somebody emailed me a book about a Christian priest, a theologian, who was at least a high level in his priesthood. He became an atheist because of this point, why we suffer. He does not understand how could there be a compassionate, loving God, yet all these people around earth are dying from starvation, dying from natural disasters, no one to help them. His mind was unable to bring a relation. How? Because in Christianity, love, God is love, 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 all day is love. Jesus loves you! And that's all they know. Anytime you get to a little bit like this, Jesus loves you, closes, they close the door. They don't want to hear anything anymore. Though this concept does not make sense. If God is all love, why is there hellfire? Have you ever put someone you love in the hellfire? I mean, people are going to enter the hellfire according to Christians, so there's no love there. Unless you may say you must believe in something, so then you're just like the Muslims. You say you must believe in Jesus as your Savior for you to get the love. And we say the same thing. You must believe in Allah as your Lord to also get the love. So, because they say that the Muslim God is mean, they have this concept because they're all love and we don't have love. We have punishment, we have stuff like that. All this is nonsense in reality. If you corner them, there's no escape. They are worse. They are worse. And I've had emails, I've had corresponding emails with Christians who told me clearly, you are going to the hellfire. You are going to the fire. Unless you accept Jesus as your Lord, you're going to the hellfire. I've warned you. That's it. And I'm replying like, you must be out of your mind, man. You have no idea what's going to the fire. We will see inshallah on the day of judgment. You see? Because I don't think so. It doesn't make any sense. Anywho, they really believe so. So this concept is, people leave faith because they don't understand the decree of Allah. We Muslims, Allah has taught us clearly in the Quran, everything happens according to the will of Allah. Life is a test. Life and death is a test. The whole thing is about how you deal with it. How do you react? Even when the calamity befalls upon you, the Prophet ﷺ, his wife Khadija died, and his uncle died. Many people that were beloved to him, that were supporting him in the da'wah, died in the same year. So much so that the scholars call it Amul Hazan, the year of and pain, because the Prophet ﷺ suffered. All of his children died. All the male children died. This is the Messenger of Allah, the most beloved to Allah. If this life was important to Allah, this dunya, then Allah wouldn't make his Messenger feel any pain. He wouldn't take away his son. You see what I'm saying? And make him cry. But Allah did so. Because this dunya doesn't equal anything to Allah. This whole world and everything in it is nothing to Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal has the hereafter is where the real reward is going to come. So this dunya is going to suck. Sooner or later, even if you have some fun, the next day you're going to be sad. You enjoy yourself sometimes, you have a nice car, speaking of myself and everything, the next day, boom. Bye-bye, as-salama. Then you have to worry about this and that. You know, you get married, life is good. A few years later, you know, there's, you know, World War III in the home. You know, life is like ups and downs. You know, it's never going to be all good. So reality, we need sabr, we need patience. And you know, I'm speaking to myself first because I've been going to the embassies and the consulates. And if you don't have patience with these people, man, and you know, you go back to your jahiliyyah, you will really do something crazy. You know, I remember, yani before I started practicing Islam, you know, when you were ignorant, you do stupid things. You know, somebody doesn't work with you, say, oh yeah, yeah, and you just start that, you know, bah, and you bring the people and you make a big scene. Now you're standing at this consulate, you're trying to deal with these people, you know, and if you don't have patience, you will lose your mind. You will lose, because they don't care. You know, the consulates and the jawazat and all these government agencies, they don't care. Inshallah, you are a Filipino and the Filipino consulate, yalla. They don't want to deal with you. Lebanese and the Lebanese consulate, yani, the guy, I bring him the paperwork. I went to give submit. My muaqib lost my passport. Okay, this is a test from Allah. This is an example. I'm supposed to go on vacation. I'm not supposed to be here today. Alhamdulillah. I was supposed to be on vacation. We give the muaqib my passport and my wife's passport to get khuruj awda. He gives us khuruj without awda. He lost the passports. Gone. So now we're making new passports. So I go to the Lebanese embassy, I call them on the phone. Now this is off the desk, but mind you. I call them on the phone. Salam alaikum. Ma'akum salam. But I want someone nice. Ya akhi, I lost my passport. Of course I'm speaking Arabic. What do I need to bring to issue, to for you to issue a new passport? He said, you need only one paper from Jawazat. What is it called? They know. Yaqi, tell me what it's called. Just in case. They know. Nothing else? Nothing else. I called the Filipino embassy. You need an ad in the newspaper. You need pictures. You need application. Affidavit of loss. You need police report. You need khitab from the Amira. Ya Hajj. Anything else you don't need, Habibi? You want some coffee also to bring up for me? They give me a list of 10 things. A royal blue background, matte paper. Like, Habibi, this is Hollywood? Did you know the Filipino consulate? I was there 2 days ago. I brought pictures for my family that has a light blue. They said no. I'm looking, are you serious? I just suffered for Allah knows how long. Said no, it must be royal blue. I said, what is royal blue? She said, okay, yes, this is royal blue. I said, lady, this is not Hollywood. Who cares? You want the picture of the person on the passport? Here she is. Who cares what's the background? Light blue, dark blue, it doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't matter. To them, no. It must be, wallah, they send us back. And you know what's funny? It says on the application paper, wallah al-azim, it says, royal blue, preferably matte paper. I said, lady, do you know English? You know what the word preferably means? Meaning it's not an obligation. I prefer you come at 9, but you may come late. That's what the word preferably. Why do you use the word preferably? If it must be royal blue, matte paper, which is not glossy, take out the word preferably. And I read it, I said preferably, or I prefer not. I thought it was a choice. So anyways, it didn't work. I had to go get pictures. The Lebanese embassy, they said, you don't need anything. The other one, nothing. Just one paper from Jawazat. What is it called? They know. I take the papers, I go in the morning. the guy at the window said, "Arif Abu Salam, I lost the passport." He said, "Okay." He went from the shelf, got a piece of paper that had the list of requirements. He said, "This is it." I said, "What is this?" He said, "You need ads in the newspaper for 3 days in a row." Now they're telling me, okay, that the Filipino embassy 1 day, 3 days in a row. You need a copy of this, a picture of that, a letter from here. This. And I said, "What is this, man?" I want to speak to the guy. I said, "Ya akhi, I called the embassy specifically to ask. And the person told me all you need is one paper." He said, "No, no way somebody will tell you that." I said, "I'm not crazy, man. I spoke to someone from here. He told me all I need is one paper. Now you're telling me that I need all these requirements. How am I going to get ads in the newspaper for 3 days and blah, blah, blah?" You know? And of course, you know, we started getting heated, you know. You just wish, you know, it's like, why? Why you have someone answer the phone who cannot give you the information? Why are you lazy? Tell me you need this, this and that. You tell me you need one paper. I come to the embassy, they give me a list of 10 things that I need to bring. Yes. Well, the thing in Arabic. No, he said one paper from Jawazat. Then we got the paper from Jawazat. We delivered it. He said, "Man, that's not the paper we need from Jawazat. It's another paper." I said, "Ya Abdullah, you told me that there's only one paper they know. I told you that they don't know. Because they gave me the wrong paper, apparently, from Jawazat. They gave me a report, they need to give a letter." Anyways, the bottom line is patience. If you don't have patience, you will just beat someone up, you know. You will just lose your mind, you will snap. But we need patience. This is yani among them. This one includes all kinds of patience. You need patience on obedience to Allah by not cursing this person and throwing your shoe at him. And you need patience from not disobeying Allah by, again, you know, acting in a foolish way. And patience is the decree of Allah. It's the decree of Allah that the passport will be lost and that you have to go through this procedure. Now, I need patience. This verse is to me and for you. Because I lost my patience. I didn't have enough. And that's not good. Okay, but alhamdulillah, I took a covenant with myself that I will no longer act the same way, you know, if this situation arises. Because, subhanAllah, it's really very carelessness. And, you know, living in America, the land of the disbelievers, you know, the people who are the most wicked, the most evil, the most sinful on the planet. But when it comes to these things, it's man professional. You do a job right. A person cares, gives you the right customer service, treats you the way you deserve, although they have all these qualities. We Muslims are more deserving of these things. We Muslims must be the first to live this life. When a person comes to you, you make him feel happy, you make him feel welcome. Here, there's no customer service concept, man. You don't like it, leave the store. That's the attitude you get. You don't like it, you don't have to buy it, you don't have to shop here. Other places, they say the customer is always right. Even if you're wrong, they say the customer is right. Just make him happy. They give you a free gift. So the idea is, it makes you sad because we Muslims must be the first people to act this way. You must be concerned about what you're telling the person. This is your brother in Islam asking you for information. Be accurate. You need this paper, you need that paper, you get it from here. This is what it's called. Help him! But you don't care, blah, blah, blah. Then when you come, you have all these problems. It's not acceptable. So you lose patience. Because you got used to disbelievers acting professionally. And now you have the Muslims who don't care. And it makes us look bad. Many non-Muslims, when they come and see the situation, they say, "Man, a'udhu billah." Well, they don't say a'udhu billah. But, you know, they say a'udhu bi Jesus. But the idea is, they use this against us. Because of the way we're behaving. So, me and you can change that, inshallah, huh? In your field of work.
They're doing this because of their position. If they don't, do the same what the Muslims are doing now, they will pick up on their job. So we have to be patient also for the Muslims.
Yes, yes.
Not for Allah, for the job.
Anyway, you're right. Oh yeah, because they're money worshippers. They're money worshippers, so yeah, they don't play around with this stuff. They do the job right, yeah, of course, not for the sake of Allah.
So you have to, that's why they have good service.
Yes.
Because of that.
Well, we should do it for the sake of Allah and have better service. This is big reward. Big reward if you This is ibadah in Islam. You sitting at your job, behind your desk, if you work at a desk, if you work at a store, you doing your job right, coming on time, you know, being truthful in your selling and buying, not lying, you know, this is all worship. Allah will give you the reward of a worshipper, just like Salah, but in a form of dealings and trade and, you know, transactions. So this is why we should, as you said, we should do it for the sake of Allah, we should do it properly. You know, it's not an excuse. Tayyib. So three kinds of patience. Everybody remembers them? Patience upon obedience to Allah. Patience that will prevent you from disobeying Allah. And patience when it comes to the decree of Allah. A calamity befalls upon you, have sabr. Sabr until Allah Azza wa Jal removes the calamity. Or Allah will reward you for it in the hereafter. You may not get it in the dunya, it will come in the hereafter. But we must be patient. We must be patient during the times of calamities. And there's many narrations that the Prophet ﷺ said that, you know, whenever Allah tests one of us, if he is pleased with the decree of Allah and he's patient, Allah will be pleased with him. And if he becomes displeased with the decree of Allah, Allah will become displeased with him. So the way we react at the time of test is very crucial in our lives. So inshallah we will make an improvement in our lives. Bye. فبالصبر وحبس النفس على ما أمر الله بالصبر عليه معونة عظيمة على كل أمر من الأمور. So by being patient and holding oneself to do that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded is among the things that are the best, among the best means of assistance. Among the best means of assistance for the servant for all of his various affairs. وَمَنْ يَتَصَبَّرْ يُصَبِّرْهُ اللَّهُ. And whomever exerts himself to be patient, Allah will give him patience. That's the bottom line. Because by the way we were born, some of us are more patient than others. Right? Some people are by nature, by default, more patient than others. Some have very low patience. He gets mad. Some people, mashallah, cold-blooded. He sits down for an hour, two, three. He may never get mad. He continues to be patient until you finish. You know? So this is one aspect. This is something that you were born with. But you can also acquire patience. You may not have a lot of patience when you were born, but you try and you exert yourself to become patient. When you try, Allah will give you patience. Allah Azza wa Jalla will give you even if it was not with you when you were born. وَكَذَلِكَ الصَّلَاةُ الَّتِي هِيَ مِيزَانُ الْإِيمَانِ وَتَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Likewise, Allah said, and seek aid and assistance in patience and salah. Also, salah is the scale of faith. If you want to measure someone's iman, how much of a Muslim, how much of a believer this person is, then you must observe their salah. If the person doesn't pray at all, he's a kafir, according to the more correct opinion of the scholars. He is a non-Muslim, the one who abandons the salah completely. If he prays sometimes, and he stops praying sometimes due to laziness or negligence or what have you, then this person's iman is certainly deficient. If the person prays the five daily prayers, but he prays them late, and he does not focus on the salah, then likewise this person's iman is deficient. And you continue to gradually go up until the person becomes a person who observes the salah on time, for the men in the masjid, in the jama'ah, in the front row, not the second, not the third, not the fourth, the front row. You go to the adhan, to the masjid, just before the adhan, or at the adhan, or right after the adhan. Not just before the iqamah, or right at the iqamah, or after the iqamah. That's not considered a person who's observing the salah in the ultimate sense. Then in the salah, you do the salah according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you observe humility in front of Allah and submission and what have you from the qualities, and then you conclude the salah like that. This is the highest category. A person's faith is to be measured according to where they stand in the salah. Salah is this important in Islam. After you become a Muslim, the first thing you are responsible about is the prayer. You do it right, أنا حديث كم صلى الله عليه وسلم أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة الصلاة، ينظر في صلاته، فإن صلحت فقد أفلح وإن فسدت فقد خاب وخسر. The first thing that the son of Adam will be held to account on the day of judgment is his salah. It will be looked into his salah. If it is sound and correct, then he will be successful. If it is bad and corrupt, then he will lose and he will regret. In another narration, the hadith says, the first thing you'll be asked about is your salah. If it is good, then everything else is going to be good. And if it is bad, then everything else is going to be bad. So this is very important. The salah is the essence of this deen after you believe in Allah, because it's the connection with Allah, which is what this whole life is about. Worshipping Allah, and salah is one of these greatest acts of worship. So basically, Allah said, seek aid in patience and in salah, because of the importance of the salah and relevance to iman. And because it prevents a person from doing fahsha, outrageous sins, and munkar, anything that is prohibited. يُسْتَعَانُ بِهَا عَلَى كُلِّ أَمْرٍ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ. And you use salah to establish or accomplish anything of your life. If you want to go and get married, you know, you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you do istikhara. And through istikhara, you know how to deal with this marriage that you're coming across. So the salah is assistance for us in all various aspects of life. وَإِنَّهَا أَيْ الصَّلَاةَ لَكَبِيرَةٌ أَيْ شَاقَّةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ فَإِنَّهَا سَهْلَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ خَفِيفَةٌ. Now Allah said, but verily the salah is big, huge. يعني it's almost like a burden. It's a burden, it's يعني difficult. Except upon the khashi'een. Those who are submissive in their salah. Those who pray with their mind, and heart being as if they are observing Allah, mindful of Allah, pondering upon what they are saying in the salah, pondering upon the fatiha, pondering in the ruku'ah, pondering in the sujood, taking the time, reaching the tama'nina, the tranquility. This is khushu'. When a person does not spend the whole salah scratching, you may scratch sometimes, but those salah scratching, checking the cell phone, this and that, looking around. You see this often, people looking around as you walk by them while you're leaving the masjid. This all negates khushu'. And then reciting the fatiha quickly. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Rahman Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin, Baba. Into 1 second, khalas. Ruku' nafs al-shi'i, Subhana Rabbil Azeem, ding ding dish dish tach. Salah is over. That's not what the salah. That's not. This salah is difficult upon a person like that. He hates the fact that he has to pray sunnah before and after. He hates witr. So he just wants to get it off his shoulder. The person is coming Allah. Alatul. He wants to finish the salah so he can leave. Allah said that the salah will be a source of aid for one of us, and it will only be so for those who are khushu'. The person who has khushu' does not feel this way. He is mindful of Allah. He is honored. He feels honored that Allah chose him from among his creation to be praying to him. And he thinks about what he's saying. He takes his time. The salah for this person is not going to be a difficulty. Rather, they want voluntary prayer. They want more prayer. You see what I'm saying? So anyways, these are the two categories of people. Because the khashi'in, فَإِنَّهَا سَهْلَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ خَفِيفَةٌ. It is easy for them. Light the salah. لِأَنَّ الْخُشُوعِ وَخَشَّةِ اللَّهِ وَرَجَاءُ مَا عِنْدَهُ يُوجِبُ لَهُ فِعْلِهَا. Because khushu' submission and fear of Allah and looking forward to that which Allah has for the person will make him want to do it, want to establish the salah. مُنْشَرِحًا صَدْرُهُ. And his chest will be open and open to the salah. لِتَرَقُبِهِ لِلثَّوَابِ. He's looking for the reward. Yani he's mindful of the reward. If I do the salah properly, then alhamdulillah, I'm establishing this, I'm establishing that. I may enter Jannah. This is the key to Jannah. This is among the keys to Jannah. So the person is mindful of these things. وَخَشْيَتَهُ مِنَ الْعِقَابِ. And he's afraid of the punishment of Allah. If he does not do this, if he does not live the way Allah Azza wa Jal had commanded us to live. بِخِلَافِ مَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ كَذَلِكَ. This is in opposition to the people who do not have all these qualities. Ya Allah, they're not thinking of anything. Thinking of vegetables and the mall and sarawat and what have you. فَإِنَّهُ لَا دَاعِيَ لَهُ يَدْعُوهُ إِلَيَّ. that person doesn't have anything that is exciting him about the salah, calling him to the salah, his mind is somewhere else. وَإِذَا فَعَلَهَا صَارَتْ مِنْ أَفْقَلِ الْأَشْيَاءِ عَلَيْهِ. And if he does do the salah, it becomes very heavy. Among the heaviest things upon him is this prayer. Allah musta'an, ask Allah to pardon us. وَالْخُشُوعُ وَخُضُوعُ الْقَلْبِ وَطَمَأْنِينَتُهُ. Khushu is the presence of the heart and its tranquility. وَسُكُونُهِ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. And being humble and relaxed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَانْكِسَارِهِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ ذِلًّا وَافْتِقَارًا. And being broken and or in a state of poverty in front of Allah, being in a state of humility and poverty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِمَانًا بِهِ وَبِلِقَائِهِ. And believing in Allah and in meeting Him. This is what khushu' is. Your heart is present, you recognize that you're praying to Allah, the Lord of the heavens and the earth and everything between them. You know, the Lord of everything, the one who hears you, the one who sees you. You know, you're in the state of some sort of fear and shyness. You know, your heart is all, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you know what I'm saying, but your heart has all these things at the same time. يعني, you know, even like, I'll give you an example. There's nothing like Allah, but just example. When you stand in front of your father, you know, if he's mad at you, it's not the same when you stand in front of your friend that you're older than him. When you stand in front of your friend and you're older than him, wallah, you don't think, your mind, your heart is not feeling anything. But when your father is there and he's mad at you, you know, maybe you just failed in school. You remember probably when anyone failed in school? They're like, yeah, I remember. When you failed in school, and you had to go home and give your pops, you know, the F or the grade, you know, the failing grade. You know how your heart was? You know? You were scared, your heart is beating fast, you're worried, you know, you're anxious, you know, you're afraid. Now, this is just an example, and to Allah belongs the highest example. This is with a helpless human being who cannot benefit you or harm you except by the will of Allah. So what about when we're standing in front of Allah, who all benefit and all harm is within His hands, and no one has no control of it? That fear must be there, along with the love and the, you know, the good, the hope for reward. It's not the fear of, you know, the fear of a human being where you're afraid that you'll be beat up or what have you. It's a fear that is generated from the greatness of Allah, from knowing the greatness of Allah. So this is what is intended with the salah. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَن يَسْتَيْقِنُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ فَيُجَازِيهِمْ بِعْمَالِهِمْ. Who are these qashi'in? Those who are certain about meeting their Lord. Because they know that they will stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, they make the preparation. The Shaykh said, because they know Allah will reward them for their deeds, with good and bad with bad. وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And that they return to their Lord. فهذا الذي خفف عليهم العبادات وأوجب لهم التسلي في المصيبات. This, their certainty that they will meet Allah and that they will return to Him, is the reason why it made the acts of worship easy for them to fulfill, and it made them patient during the time of calamities. ونفس عنهم الكربات. And it made the problems go away from them. وزجرهم عن فعل السيئات. And it prevented them from doing evil. فهؤلاء لهم النعيم المقيم في الغرفات العالية. Those will have the eternal bliss and happiness and bounty in the high rooms in Jannah. ومن لم يؤمن بلقاء ربه كانت الصلاة وغيرها من العبادات من أشق شيء عليه. Whoever does not believe in meeting his Lord, the salah and other acts of worship will become a burden. Will become a form of burden on them. ثم كرر على بني إسرائيل التذكير بنعمته وعظا لهم وتحذيرا وحثا. We will stop actually at this particular point, and basically we are at verse number 46. Ayyuha, 47. For next, inshallah, bi'idhni Allah, do 48 and so forth. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, shahadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.